Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. I am Adam Weinrib, joined as always by FanSided's MLB insider Robert Murray. And yeah, I think this is going to be one of those shows where a bunch of people ask a bunch of questions in the comments and we do not get to do our pre-planned outline. And that is totally fine because we are 10 days before the trade deadline. The madness begins. Will the madness begin? Has the madness already begun? Does Rich Hill getting promoted count as madness? Here to break it all down with me is FanSided's own Robert Murray. Robert, you got Rich Hill to the bigs just before this show. The Kansas City Royals are putting a 45-year-old man on the mound at Wrigley. And so we'll start there, of course. News that I think more people have reacted to than you maybe thought when you dropped it.
Yeah, no, it's good to be here with you, Adam. Happy Monday. The deadline season is almost here, and I can confidently say that my phone is picked up and texts and calls and you name it. So I've been up and at it since about 5 o'clock this morning, ready to get after it. And Rich Hill, I actually found out about that last night, which was really fun. I was on a date and all of a sudden the texts and the calls came in and I had to hold it until today, but that is indeed a thing that Rich Hill is going to be joining the Kansas City Royals. He is very likely going to pitch on Tuesday at Wrigley Field. And it is at 45 years old. This is just an unbelievable story. So congratulations to Rich Hill. No matter how he performs, this is a story of perseverance and just I give him a ton of credit. So I'm excited to see him pitch. I'm excited to see the competitive side in him back in the majors. And it can only be a good presence for that Royals team that has a lot of young people around him. So he'll be able to teach those guys what it's like to be big leaguers. Obviously, he has some friends on the roster, teammates that he's played with in the past. So that'll be a really cool deal, but he is indeed coming back to the majors for the Kansas City Royals.
And that will probably not be the last piece of movement that occurs ahead of the trade deadline, I'm going to assume. I think it does not begin and end with Rich Hill, and that's why we are excited to take
it's actually the last move of the deadline. Yeah, it's Rich Hill. Yeah,
could be. I mean, Devers, we agreed when Devers happened, like he's probably going to be the biggest name exchanged at the deadline, ahead of the deadline. Hill, same deal. This is the second biggest now. We're going to have plenty of bigger pieces of personnel movement to talk about on this show in the next 10 days. We're going to be coming to you live plenty today, 3:30. Eric Cole and I on the Prospect Show, breaking down potentially traded prospects tomorrow at noon Eastern. Back here, 1 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. We're going to have a Friday show as well, 3:30 Eastern. Robert doing a private Q&A in the Discord at 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursday. You are not going to want to miss that. No better time than the present to hit that join button below the video. Pop into the Discord at either the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier. All-Stars get priority responses in this chat. Everybody in the Rumor Mill tier gets to hang out with Robert on Thursday, and you get a half hour to ask your questions. Better ask some good ones. And with the trade deadline right on the horizon, those questions are becoming more clarified than ever before. Subscribe to the Moonshot if you have not. That's FanSided's weekly baseball email newsletter with the FanSided MLB team, including Robert Murray, breakdown of the biggest stories, the big leagues, with humor, insight, behind the scenes info. Catch all that and more on FanSided.com/baseball-insiders, our shared feed for MLB staff writers. Nonsense, FanSided's best of baseball, and Robert's breaking news and columns and his Rich Hill breaker obviously went live on FanSided.com as well. Okay, before we get into the rumors, before we get into any of your questions, I do want to talk about another move that already went down last night. David Robertson signed with the Philadelphia Phillies. You had us circling this as well. I think we knew that D-Rob finding a big league home was coming, and it's the Phillies for just over $6 million for the remainder of the season. He's been optioned to Lehigh Valley. He will not start in the majors. He still requires a ramp-up period. From what we know, it does seem that the Red Sox went down to the wire. The Tigers were mentioned as being involved. I know the Yankees and Mets and Dodgers were reportedly at the showcase. Any other teams go down to the wire here? And what do you know about the bidding process and why the Phillies wanted to come out on top?
Yeah, the Phillies, obviously, they got David Robertson. And it's a prorated version of $16 million. So it's a little over $5 million that he's going to make in the rest of the season. And if you look at it, all the money that they saved from Jose Alvarado's suspension, it was a little over $4 million. So they used the money saved from Alvarado's suspension and a little bit more to upgrade the bullpen here and getting David Robertson. And it's a move that makes sense. They have history with David Robertson. He's pitched very well for them. And he's primarily pitched very well for teams besides his stint with the Miami Marlins. So it's an upgrade for sure. It's a veteran arm that they can get. Remains to be seen exactly how effective he can be, because he hasn't pitched in live action this year. And going from, I mean, he was obviously throwing behind the scenes, but going from throwing bullpens and maybe live BPs to pitching in a real major league game is a totally different thing. So I have my skepticism or my doubts on how effective this move can be. But clearly the Phillies were motivated to get something done here, and you can't blame them and looking at their bullpen and just exactly where it's at. And losing Jeff Hoffman and losing some others, and I mean, obviously getting Romano, which has not really worked out for them. They needed to do something. I still expect them to continue to do more. They are far from done, whether it's the bullpen or just the roster in general. But as you said, they did have plenty of competition. And those teams that you mentioned, I believe those were in the mix. Another team, and this is not confirmed by any means, but I could have seen the Giants being involved in this too. And my reasoning there is obviously teams are always looking for bullpen help, and the price is just out on the trade market right now are through the roof. I even had one very prominent executive say that prices were equivalent to like a fantasy football trade where you're trying to trade three of your bench players for your star player. So it's not exactly like a very lively trade market at the moment. And also Robertson and Posey are believed to have a relationship from their days with Team USA. So, I mean, it's possible. I don't know if they are actually in, but that's me more connecting the dots more than anything. But obviously Robertson is in Philadelphia now. So any Giants link is a moot point at this point.
The largest name on the market and the name in most prominent position in the biggest packages we've seen floated does reside in the NL West, though, and that's Eugenio Suarez. We knew that he would be sought after. I don't think we knew quite how much until the market started to really clarify itself in June and July, and people realized this is, you know, an all-star who's hit four home runs in the last two games and is not just the biggest name available, but rivaling Rafael Devers, dare I say, in terms of biggest potential game changers who could switch sides this year. Now, Suarez wants to make this tough, and so do his D-backs teammates. They just swept the Cardinals, and they are 500. And he said, I want to make this a difficult decision for the front office. You know, the team is trying to win baseball games. That said, Suarez is absolutely peaking. There is a bunch of Yankee fan anxiety, confusion, discussion going on because the Spanish voice of the Yankees claimed that there's a five prospect package featuring Cam Schlittler that's out there in exchange for Suarez and Merrill Kelly and Jalen Beeks. All this to say, even though Suarez is a rental, the price, like you said, is going to be astronomical, even if the current offers are closer to scrubs for stars in the world of fantasy football. What do you anticipate? We've heard the Yankees involved in that package, the Mariners, the Cubs, the Tigers. I mean, do you have any sense of the price and which teams are actually involved on Suarez? And could it balloon to something bigger like that five player for three player Yankees rumor?
Yeah. Before I dive into that, I'm glad that Doc asked this question, asking, do you know who the other team was that Robertson had a deal with before he went to Philadelphia? So I actually have the insight on this. And so John Heyman went on MLB Network and was talking about it. And then MLB Network tweeted the clip and said that he had a deal with another team before he went to Philadelphia. I am very close with John, as many people here on the podcast know. He was misquoted. He did not actually have a deal with another team. So I want to squash that, and hopefully the network or somebody corrects him or corrects their tweet, because John did not actually say that. Going back to Suarez in the Diamondbacks here, it is very, very, very interesting what is exactly playing out here, because the Diamondbacks are at 500 coming off of the sweep of the Cardinals, and we've talked about it for weeks now. Like, this is the team that can change the deadline if they sell or if they buy or if they even stand pat. And I expect them to sell, because you have some of the best prospect, or you have some of the best players on the market. Like Suarez at this point, he's going to have a huge bidding war for his services. And I also, like you mentioned those teams, I also thought it was very interesting that Ben Nicholson Smith, I believe it was, that the Blue Jays could even be in the market for a third baseman as well. So
yep.
That kind of caught my attention there as well, but there is going to be a massive list of teams after Suarez. And when you have that kind of a bidding war, the price is only going to go up and up and up and up. So I think he'll be traded. But that being said, like this run here, if they continue to go and they get above 500, then we could have a very interesting conversation in a future pod. But as of this point, I would expect Suarez to go. Naylor is going to be a very interesting one, and moving one of Merrill Kelly or Zach Gallen is going to be very interesting here as well. And another part of this is with Kelly, maybe if you trade him, you can end up re-signing him when he's a free agent. Or with Zach Gallen, you could possibly extend the qualifying offer. Maybe he takes it, or maybe he tries to go elsewhere. So it's just there's a lot of different factors here that they need to consider as well. And they also have Shelby Miller, who's performed very well for them this year. And so there's just so many pieces here. I expect them to sell, but I don't think it's going to end up being this like massive sell-off thing, because that's just not what Mike Hazen does.
The Yankees and Red Sox reportedly had scouts for Kelly and Gallen this weekend as well. Although, again, big-time trade deadline reminder, you know, banner hanging from the ceiling. A team having scouts somewhere is not news. The news would be if they did not have scouts watching major trade deadline components. Because you gotta scout them, but endless
and MLB deadline news. I think you're right. I think that's a good call by you. I think that's my guess.
Yeah, there you go. Appreciate it. Kelly probably more likely to go than Zach Gallen, but of course, Kelly could reunite with the Diamondbacks. He is reaching the end point of his career anyway. This is someone in their late 30s who could help a contender right now and could help the Diamondbacks again next year. Because like we've said, they are not far from contention themselves, and they never have been. So we'll see what they decide to do. I want to get to a lot of questions here. I do want to explore the Yankees and Pirates link, and also just the Pirates trade market in general right now, because I know how many Pirates fans we have watching this show. They're one of the surest sellers. John Heyman connected the Yankees to the Pirates over the weekend in a million ways, with Brian Hayes and IKF and David Bednar and Dennis Santana and Mitch Keller. There's a little smoke coming from Pittsburgh today that the Yankees were maybe strengthening their pursuit of Keller. Either way, not exactly surprising to see so many big league pieces on the market for the Pirates. What are your current expectations, and do you think the Yankees and Pirates do match up as we are 10 days out of the deadline?
Yeah, I do think they're a realistic match here for sure, because the Pirates have a lot of what the Yankees need and want. They have pitching, they have bullpen, they have infield help. They have they just match up in a lot of different ways, and they obviously have teamed up in the past on deals. So like, there's obviously a familiarity, but there's a lot of other teams that are going to be circling the Pirates here as well, and they are going to be very busy. We've already seen them make one trade with Adam Frazier going to the Royals. And I still like that trade for them. That was a nice little return for Pittsburgh. But they have Mitch Keller. There's other people in the Discord who want them to move Bailey Falter. We have bullpen pieces there as well. I don't know if they sell low on Colin Holderman by any means, but they have Andrew Heaney. They have just Key Brian Hayes, Tommy Pham. Like, there's a bunch of other pieces with Pittsburgh where teams are gonna be coming after them. And the thing is like, there's not many known sellers at this point. So it's a real opportunity for Pittsburgh to go out and get value. And to me, there's no better solution to get value than by moving a guy like Mitch Keller, because he is definitely a very dependable veteran arm. His contract is relatively, like, it's not bad. Obviously, it's expensive, but for a pitcher of his caliber, it's not overly terrible. So with his production, you could probably end up getting a really nice major league caliber bat or two, or that are at least on the doorstep of being in the majors. And if you can end up doing that, and then hopefully at some point they call up Bubba Chandler, you have the makings of a really, really good core and foundation there. So we'll see. I'm still skeptical that they can ultimately compete with Bob Nutting owning the team, just because he just does not invest in that roster whatsoever. But there's at least a path to get back into contention, and this deadline is as crucial for them as they've had in quite some time.
All right, let's get to the comments, because there's too many
also,
good ones.
Also, yeah. I don't want to give this guy's attention, but I have to. Why everyone is aggregating MLB Scoops for that Ben Cherington tweet yesterday?
There we go.
MLB Scoops is the worst account on Twitter, and I will absolutely say it. Do not listen to that guy. He's full of shit. So that's my rant for the day.
You know, it's a bummer is that we're no longer MLB Scoops' pinned tweet. It's like a Juan Soto to Mets thing. We might be now. We were the pinned tweet forever, saying that account was trash and smelled like garbage. And I miss being there. So, yeah, if you see this, you want to clip it again, you're more than welcome to. Your account is still bad and wrong. I'm going to feed you worst account on Twitter. It's terrible. Even worse than mine, which is stunning if you follow me. I know I'm going to give you one in the comments that I know you're going to like because I've seen your answer to this in the Discord, and everyone should join the Discord. But and a couple comments earlier hinted at it too, but let's go MLB deadline news first. A Twitter account that begins with MLB and is not terrible like MLB Scoops. Do you see any surprises coming into the deadline this year? You have had a surprise in mind for a while, and I feel like the percentage chances of that player being dealt have only increased in recent weeks.
Yeah, and I will agree with you. MLB deadline news is one of the better follows on Twitter, so I'd recommend anyone who likes baseball news and is actually like real accurate news, I would recommend following MLB deadline news. But yeah, the guy that I have thought could be asked about in trade talks for sure would be Stephen Kwan of the Cleveland Guardians. And like we've seen other insiders mention his name, and it's a case for me where it's such a limited market where these teams can end up absolutely trying to see what the Guardians will command to try to get it done. My guess is he probably does not get moved because he's a core piece for them, and he's someone that they want to build around for sure. But if you listen and you can end up getting an offer you can't refuse, to me, that's something you absolutely have to consider if you're Cleveland. And the fits there are endless. Like the teams that I think make a lot of sense would be like the Padres. I could see making some sense there. I could see the Dodgers making some sense. There's a lot of just different teams that would make sense for Kwan. Again, I don't think he's moved, but I fully expect teams to ask about him. And Mason Miller is getting some love recently as well. I don't expect him to get moved. Mackenzie Gore, the Nats are definitely not in a hurry to move him. So again, I'm not expecting like a big crazy deadline by any means, but those guys will get asked about. I just don't expect any of them to get traded. I think Cooper might be chewing my chair. So let me check that while you
speak. Mute that. I keep like the world of a podcast producer. I keep muting when I'm like scratching my nose as if the mute will stop you from seeing that. Obviously that's not how this works, but that's how my brain is bent around right now with 10 days before the trade deadline, trying to cover as many scoops as we can. Tough stuff from MLB Scoops as well. Kidnapped Paladin's dog, which is brutal. You hate to see that. We love dogs on this channel. But more importantly, wants to know about potential Blue Jays scoops. Earlier in the show, we mentioned that the Ben Nicholson-Smith report about them maybe competing with the Yankees at third base. If the Jays win tonight over the Yankees, they will set a franchise record for most home wins in a row. They could not be hotter. They look like a first-place team, CC Michael K, and they are going to get better at the deadline because this is what they do. For a long time, the Jays have sort of, even their fans have derided them as like always being in on the biggest names, but not completing those deals. That lasted all the way to this offseason with Roky Sasaki and Pete Alonso. Maybe less of, you know, maybe you want Pete Alonso on this roster, but the Jays still look great. The rotation goes deep, but they want more. What are you expecting?
I expect the Jays to be pretty active, and they are definitely motivated is how I would describe that in trade talks for them. And third base or pitching, I think, are going to end up being the real priorities here for Toronto. Third base is not my info. That's me going off of Ben Nicholson-Smith, who I trust mightily with Blue Jays news. He's one of the best. So those are the ones that I'm definitely watching. But I would firmly expect Toronto to be active, to be busy, to be in plenty of conversations. And hopefully they get some stuff done, because I have plenty of Blue Jays fans who like to hit me up. They're very passionate fan base. So I'm hoping that they do it, especially for my guy, Gresham Five, who I hope is enjoying some Gresham Five time on this lovely Monday afternoon. So shout out to Gresham Five.
As always, shout out to Gresham Five. We got a super chat here asking about the Red Sox. And obviously I was going to go to the Red Sox anyway, because I can't go a full show without talking about the Red Sox. Most realistic move for Boston, which appears to be the complete team that we thought they'd be entering the season, but still could use some help in the rotation. So I would imagine that that's where they're looking. But what are you thinking in terms of realism for Boston? A Merrill Kelly type shooting a little higher than that, or maybe a Jaron Duran trade plus importing some pitching? What do we think?
Yeah, I would guess that starting pitching is probably going to end up being the most realistic move there, and adding some reinforcements there as well. I would also look at first base with Boston being a real priority for them. And whether it's Ryan O'Hearn or Josh Naylor or whoever it is, I expect them to be busy. And Craig Breslow, he was very bold when he said that they thought he was going to they were going to end up winning more games without Rafael Devers. So far, he looks like it's not wrong. Obviously, a lot of ball game left, but they are definitely motivated to buy, and I expect them to be quite busy.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to not be busy. In the same way, there was no reason for them to not be busy in the offseason. They got it done. You're getting like 100th percentile outcomes from Chapman and Crochet, and a pretty solid one from Bregman as well. Came up clutch yesterday. So take advantage. Even though the window is wide open, you never know what happens in the future. If you are, maybe your future is like the Baltimore Orioles. So I expect the Red Sox to go pretty all in within reason on this particular deadline.
And also there's one that I want to hit on here. Hopefully you don't mind me.
I don't at all. I want you to hit on as many as you want to hit on, because we got a lot to sift through.
Yeah, your prediction at the start of the show is dead on. Yeah. But I want to go to Andrew Lee here. Robert, please squash the Machado trade. What? He's not getting traded. What are we talking about? That's that Manny Machado is not going to get traded. So let's put that to bed.
Yeah, I think there was a comment earlier about just like, hey, you know, float it, see, you know, well, whatever. Again, not going to happen. And Xander Bogaerts, who I think a lot of Padres fans gave up on, hitting like 380 in a big chunk of time. So finally, return on investment, even though the investment was substantial. We appreciate the questions. I also say Christopher Sanchez for Jaron Duran. I see you. This just doesn't make sense to me, especially given how much the Phillies just vociferously defended Christopher Sanchez for not being named an all-star. I get that you're going to have to give to get here, but does adding Duran provide the Phillies as much as deleting Christopher Sanchez would hurt them in the rotation? To me, that does not track, but no. I do appreciate you trying here.
No, RG, like I respect the effort here for sure, but no, I do not think that's going to be happening at all. You don't pay a guy's all-star salary for him not getting there, and then all of a sudden trade him for an outfielder that a contending team is seemingly very willing to listen on. So that to me does not pass the smell test. I would not get your hopes up for that trade happening. Maybe Duran does go to Philadelphia, who knows? But I don't think they're going to be giving up Christopher Sanchez. And also another one that I want to touch on too. Since we're going all over the map here, is Ken Rosenthal wrote something that was pretty interesting about Adley Rutschman, that maybe I want to make sure I get his phrasing on this right, but that Baltimore could listen because they have a bunch of options in-house on catcher. But isn't that kind of concerning that they'd be willing to listen on or at least like explore that possibility? I don't know. Like teams listen for sure. I get it, but that one kind of raised some alarm bells for me, and I don't know. That just doesn't seem. I don't know. I would be buyer beware if I don't know. I got a weird feeling about that. That's not the best explanation I've ever given on this show, but I thought that was really kind of odd.
It was funny, like even watching the draft, like the O's picked, you know, some catchers in the 30s, and Greg Amsinger was like, more catchers in the pipeline, like. You know, wonder about Adley Rutschman's future. And it's like, do you have to wonder about Adley Rutschman's future right now? Like, I don't know. It's being said on the draft broadcast, and now it's in Ken Rosenthal's pen. So I guess we have to think about it. But yeah, that is a wild one.
Whenever Ken Rosenthal speaks, listen, because he knows his stuff. So I'm wondering what exactly he knows. And at this point, I don't know what he knows. Sure. And that is a very scary proposition.
Appreciate the questions. Of course, I am now laughing as I try to go through the comments about Christopher Sanchez getting called into the Phillies office and then being like, hey, Chris, we're going to pay your all-star bonus. You earned it. It's like a heartwarming video. They clip it for Twitter. They upload it. And then they're like, oh, wait, actually come back. Sorry. Also, you're being traded to the Red Sox. Sorry. Forgot to tell you.
It's not happening, but that'd be batshit crazy.
I don't think it's going to happen. We got Joseph Peraza in here asking for Dodgers news and was also asking about Donovan and Helsley for the Dodgers. Donovan, I'm going to say probably not. I don't know if you can Edmund the Cardinals 2 years in a row. Nice try. Maybe they're wise to it by now. But Helsley, maybe. I've certainly seen the Dodgers connected to Bednar, Helsley, Felix Bautista, Class A in the past 24 hours. Yeah. We know, you know, we thought they had an embarrassment of riches in the bullpen. They don't. They don't even have enough riches. 2-10 in their last 12 in LA. What are your thoughts on the way the Dodgers attack this deadline?
Yeah, they're definitely going to be buying, first of all. And even
sure, they're not going to sell, but they're 0-6 against the Brewers. I think maybe you sell.
Yeah, and they'll even after getting Tanner Scott, even after getting Kirby Yates, they're going to be looking for bullpen help. The Freddie Freeman thing, that was definitely a scare yesterday with him leaving after getting hit by a pitch. X-rays were negative, but my trade deadline brain immediately ended up thinking of, oh, maybe they go after a guy like Ryan O'Hearn. So I don't think that's going to end up having to be like a thing for them, considering that Freeman, like, as I said, his X-rays were negative, but they are definitely going to be looking for bullpen help. I could even see them looking for starting pitching as well, because we've seen them just go through starting pitchers like crazy, and their starters have not gone deep in the games at all this year. So adding some extra depth would be really smart. But they are going to be aggressive. They're going to be looking out there for sure. I could even see them adding a bat. So, I mean, I'm connecting on every level of this, it's where Andrew Friedman is usually very busy, and I expect him to be very active in the phone conversations here.
On the flip side, how far can the Cardinals go? Because this is a big list of, you know, potential. Obviously, the bullpen arms, that there's a big market there. If you're a seller with bullpen arms, you should probably hop into it. But beyond that, I mean, are the Cardinals going to be selling from this surplus of lefty bats? And we see all the comments. Robert and I are going to try to stick around for as long as we can to answer as many of these. But, man, you guys are going crazy. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, well, thank you all for the questions. I appreciate you big time.
Yeah, seriously.
But with the Cardinals, I would not look for them to move controllable pieces. And my reasoning for that is John Mozeliak is in his last year, and Heim Bloom is going to be taken over after this year. And I can't see Mozeliak doing anything like massive unless it ends up like being too good to be really true. So I would kind of temper expectations. I wouldn't expect them to move like Nootbaar, Gorman, Burleson, or Donovan. I also saw that, I've seen Jordan Walker stuff. I would be stunned if that happened. I would not expect him to go. So I'm not expecting anything too crazy for St. Louis. I'm going to jump to this one now. Raymond Hernandez, when could we see trades happen? Well, considering just the prices around the league and just the lack of true sellers, it's going to be a little bit until we see like the bulk of the action. Maybe we see a deal or two come across the finish line here in the next couple days or next few days. But I'm not really glued to my phone quite yet, but we're getting to that point where we're not far away.
MLB Deadline News asking what the worst mock trade offer I saw on Twitter this week was. It might be my own tweet from yesterday morning. Is Bryce Cunningham, Brock Selvidge, and Rafael Flores enough for Eugenio Suarez? I don't know. I thought it might be. Then he hit two more home runs, and I realized the Yankees were looking at an 8-player trade for Merrill Kelly, too. So who the hell knows? I mean, there's some pretty bad ones out there. I think a lot of people here comes the Yankees homer tick. Everybody log off the podcast now. I think the Yankees have a reputation for trading slop for slop. Everybody makes fun of Yankee fans for doing like Andujar and Frazier for superstar. And I get it, because there were a lot of those floating around back in the day. But the Yankees have actually given a lot in recent years, including like Augustin Ramirez, Michael King, Hayden Wesneski has been a valuable piece, got traded for Kyle Tucker. Carlos Narvaez, like in the last year, the Yankees have traded a lot of people who they've gotten made fun of for giving up. So I don't think it's really a great meme anymore to be like, Yankees never give anything away. Well, the Yankees have a lot of pitching to trade this year, and the Yankees have given away some like rookie of the year contenders who are playing elsewhere this year, and they don't totally miss them. So there's that homer hat off.
No, I do appreciate that you said that the worst mock trade you've seen was your own.
It might be mine. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but I also... my feeling is that the Yankees are not the easiest team to deal with in trade talks. That's the kind of sense that I get. So we'll see what they end up doing, but they'll be busy. They'll be very busy for sure.
I believe it. All right. We got a couple of people threatening to cry. Obviously want to hit them before we leave. Cheddar Ass Man, again, going to sob if we don't give him Mets rumors. Do we have any legitimate Mets rumors? Also change your username or I won't put you on the stream. Just kidding. I will. This is an NSFW stream. We don't care.
Yeah, no, Cheddar Ass Man.
I try not to say it, and then I'm like, just say it. Well, whatever. You're about to put him on screen anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. But I would expect the Mets to be looking for pitching and just any sort of offensive upgrade that they can find, because they just need both. And I don't know, with Stearns, he's always very good at finding value when it comes to pitching. So I don't know if it'll be like a big name by any means, but somebody that they can try to maximize and get the most out of. He's got a very extensive history of doing so. So if it's not like the biggest name at the deadline, yeah, maybe you might be a little underwhelmed, but typically more often than not, Stearns knows something and he's able to get the most out of them. So that is one thing that I'm watching there for sure.
What about Red Scoops, which Important Views has asked a few different times, so I want to make sure to grab him before the show ends. The Reds are in an interesting spot. They are right up there with the Cardinals in terms of close to the wild card picture, but also barely over 500. But also, you don't want to throw a year of Terry Francona away.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't want to throw a year of Terry Francona away. And it was funny. It was like maybe 4 or 5 days ago, I had somebody ask me, like, hey, what could they do? And they were wondering if the Reds could maybe even consider moving a guy like Brady Singer if they ended up falling out of it. Now they're 52-48. They're contending. So I'm not thinking that they're going to be selling by any means, but I would look for them to buy, but I don't think it's going to be end up being anything too crazy. I've been proven wrong before, so we'll see. But my read as of this point is that they're going to be in a position to buy.
Thank you, and appreciated Important Views as well. Making sure any Braves news before we leave.
Nope. Same as what I've said, they're not moving anyone who's controllable, and Ozuna being out of the lineup the last few days has been very odd. I feel like I might know the reason behind it, but I'm not going to say it publicly. But it's very kind of interesting. Raisel Iglesias for sure is definitely going to be mentioned in trade talks, and I expect him to go. But anyone who's controllable, like Sean Murphy, Ronald Acuna Jr., I mean, anyone like that is not going to be traded at this deadline. I will stake my claim in that. It's just not happening. So anyone who's mentioning those guys in trade rumors, they're wrong. I mean, maybe they're going to get asked about, but they're not going anywhere right now.
What about those Mariners who have made some pretty splashy trades the last couple of years and probably have their best chance at a playoff spot since 2022? They're in one right now, and the AL field is wonky, to say the least.
Yeah, it's very, very wonky, and they'll be looking for bats for sure. And Eugenio Suarez is definitely someone that they're going to be linked to plenty over the next 10 days. But whether it's him or whether it's a different bat, they're going to be looking for reinforcements here for sure. And I hope that ownership gives Jerry DePoto freedom to spend, because they're in a real, like, there's no dominant team in either the American League or the National League. I mean, Tigers are pretty darn good. But anyone can win it at this point. And if the Mariners end up adding another bat or two, then we could be really talking about them being a serious candidate to go out and get to end up advancing maybe even to the World Series, or at least deep into the postseason.
Appreciate all of your questions. I have to talk Brewers before we sign off too, just because, man, I wish they were still tied for the best record in baseball. Tigers won yesterday, so unfortunately the Tigers are a half game up. The Brewers, 59-40. They're among the elite. What do they do? Are they still selling surplus pitchers like Jose Quintana? I mean, do you even want to mess with the rhythm of this miraculous motorbike right now? I mean, what are we doing in Milwaukee?
God, this team needs to go out and spend. And I'm desperately going to be going after Mark Antanasio here. Like, you have a team that is swept the Dodgers in 6 games. They're 6-0 against the Dodgers. They are one of the best teams in the National League. They have young talent. They have veteran talent. And if you can end up adding a Suarez or even add another pitcher, I don't know who exactly to go out and get. But if you can add meaningful pieces to this team, you have a chance at actually like advancing to the World Series this year. Their pitching is phenomenal. They have all the makings of a very good team. An actual World Series team, if I'm being totally real. And if the Brewers do not make a big move, or if they stand pat at the deadline, I'm going to let Mark Antanasio have it, because this is a prime opportunity for them to go out and do something. And if they don't, it's inexcusable. I've seen people asking for Padres news. Preller is very active. I'm going to tell you that right now. He is definitely working the phones. Nothing is imminent by any means to my knowledge. But this is Preller season, and you should be ready for it. Rangers, I don't have anything new there, but I don't expect them to move to Grom or Eovaldi or anything like that. Robert, have you always been a Robert, or have you ever been a Rob, Robbie, Bob, or Bobby? It's funny. I got people call me Robert. My nickname back at home growing up for about 20 years is Bert. Everyone here in Arizona calls me like Bobby or Rob, or so I'm it's versatile for sure. Giants news, they will be in a position to buy. Prices are just too high for them right now. But they're definitely going to be looking to buy for sure. Rutschman to Padres when? I'm actually shocked he actually woke up, because Villas or Vias, I don't know how you pronounce your name. He typically sleeps till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So good job by him actually waking up at 1:10 in the afternoon. Luis Robert rumors getting interest for sure. I firmly expect him to get moved because he's got a club option for next year, and I cannot envision any scenario whichever way the White Sox pick it up. So let's see. We're just going to go rapid fire here to end the show. When are talks expected to heat up? There's like 10 days left and there's nothing. It's going to be in probably until the last few days of the deadline, because teams are still trying to figure out where they're going to end up or what they're going to end up doing. There's so many teams that are on the fence here that they're going to let it wait out as long as they can. But once they end up determining a direction, then I expect the floodgates to open, and the last 72-ish hours should be pretty busy. Let's see. I love how everyone's getting after him. Vias. Okay. So Vias is how you pronounce his name. Yeah. I'm shocked that he's up, but I appreciate everyone who's giving him flack for actually being up at a not reasonable hour. But good job. What the hell is that about?
I feel like, I mean, we could not have delivered more rapid fire, although I honestly don't know if this comment is offensive or not. So I'm going to spend the next 24 hours trying to figure that out. Don't know. Everybody, really appreciate you joining us today on the Monday edition, 10 days out of the trade deadline of the Baseball Insiders. Will the Yankees' plans change if they get swept by Toronto? No. You should know by now that Brian Cashman's plans never change based on-field results. Swipe at Brian Cashman. But no, they're still going to be buyers of some kind if they got swept by Toronto. But they did just get swept by Toronto. They look like shit doing it. So let's see if they lose a bunch of baseball games again. We'll find out tonight, and then tomorrow, and then the night after that. Reminder that the Baseball Insiders are live at the National Card Show on August 2nd and 3rd. That's Saturday and Sunday. Great guests per show, live shows, double live shows. If you're in the Chicagoland area, come check us out. Robert and I will be on stage at the National, probably buying, selling, and trading and breaking, but definitely hosting two live shows. We're really excited to do that. We will be back again Wednesday and Friday, plus next week. Stay tuned for a very special schedule ahead of the trade deadline. We might do a show every day. We are definitely going to do a show Thursday in the morning. MLB deadline news brought up an extremely interesting point before we sign off about a potential dynasty in the NBA. I will have to look into this. It's my first time hearing not only about the word dynasty, but the NBA in general. Don't know what either of those are. So I'll look into it, come back for the next show and let you know. Robert Murray, anything else we have to touch on before we sign off? Holy shit, what a ride.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting ride. Very fun ride. And I'm having people in the quote tweets or just in my mentions mention how I connected Kwan and the Padres. That is more, obviously, Padres need an outfielder. And we know that AJ Preller loves going after the big fish, and they obviously like the Padres and Guardians have made trades in the past. Like they did the Clevinger deal, they've done some others. So there's history between the two sides. Again, I am not expecting like a quant trade to happen, but I can absolutely see Preller seeing an opportunity being like, hey, maybe we can give this thing a try and giving it his best shot. But again, I do not expect him to get traded. So I want to just put that fire out or try to like tame it a little bit before Twitter goes nuts over it. But yeah, no, it's fun show today. I appreciate everyone who tuned in to watch. It was the most active comment section of the year. So we appreciate you. It's only going to get more and more crazy. So I'm excited for that. But Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Hunter, our lovely producer, I don't know if he's here anymore. I appreciate you. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday. Hi, Adam.
I think we'll have a lot of fun on Wednesday. I had fun today. Robert, does this mean anything to you? This comment is extremely meaningful to me.
I don't know. What does that mean?
Oof. All right. Talk with your reps. Get in Allen and Ginter. They have reporters and skateboarders and musicians sign cards. It's the best release of the baseball season. Comes out this fall, but they do it every year. So in answer to your question, obviously a burner, I do a box of Allen and Ginter every year. It's the only brand of baseball cards that my wife also wants. We open that, but it's Topps Chrome season, and we're coming up on a big one. So I'm more of a Bowman Chrome, Bowman Draft guy, but Topps Chrome also a pretty big summer tent pole. So I do one box of Topps Series 1. Do not do Series 2. Don't do update. Maybe I should. Then I go nuts on Chrome and the Bowmans. So, and A&G, obviously. So we will see you at the National. If you're in that area, if you're into card collecting, come join us there. Otherwise, we will catch you on Wednesday's show. Tomorrow at noon, Eric Cole and I will be live on the channel. This is just the beginning, folks. And as you know, look at all the crazy comments we had today, even though there's basically no legitimate rumors out there on the market. It'll only get more fun as we get closer. Robert Murray, thank you for showing up and hanging out today.
No, thank you for having me. I'm going to go eat because I'm starving. And yeah, we'll see everyone back here on Wednesday. So I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody. Thank you.
I'm going to walk biscuit. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Oh, we will. Peace.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.